America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to a Cinco de Mayo edition of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always, which is a lie, Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Sammons. Acknowledge your existence to the world, gang.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey. All right, so, like I said, it is Cinco de Mayo, which means if you're not drunk yet, well, you're not doing it right. This week, as usual, we got some shit to talk about, specifically a certain health care bill that somehow managed to pass the House of Representatives. We got things to say about that one. We also got some music news. One particular idiot student from Kentucky who tried to cheat on his final exams by, you'll find out. We'll be talking a bit. Yeah. Also, we'll be talking about some weird science news, like why it appears that the Taylor Glacier is apparently hemorrhaging blood. or the idea that the United Arab Emirates have apparently come up with a way to solve its drinking water problem. Whether or not you're going to like it is, you'll find out. All this and more we will be having on this very drunk edition of Let's Weekend. So, to start things off, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, this week it's been Words of Radiance. Still making my way through that second book. Started it and really can't put it down. Love it. I've been doing that. Listening to a lot of music. Found a compilation of Iron Butterfly, pretty much the only song you ever really need to listen to that to from them is Inagata da Vida, so yeah, pretty much everything else is the superlative. But they're pretty good. I like them. And got my Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack on vinyl and been listening to that. Listen to the remasters of Ride the Lightning and Kill 'Em All on vinyl, and yeah, they're not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
Nope.
That kind of thing. And other than that, I've been playing some random games. Like, got the PS4 version of Diablo 3. I have the whole set. Yeah. I think the PS4 version looks a little bit better than the Xbox One version does. Chris might have something to say about that. I'm not entirely sure, but at least the UI in particular seems to be cleaner on the PS4 for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the text on the PS4 seems a lot sharper. I don't know why, but anyway. Yeah, I've been playing that. What did I get? Oh, yeah, I got the Disney Afternoon Collection, so I've been playing a bunch of those games and realizing I'm no longer 13 and have the reflexes to match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, playing DuckTales and getting my ass kicked, playing Darkwing Duck and getting my ass kicked, and yeah. Playing DuckTales 2 and getting my ass kicked. But they're all fun. The emulation is actually quite good. It's broken in the ways that you expect it to be broken. So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's a nice collection. I'm going to be doing a review for that in the not-too-distant future once I have played enough of the games that I can, really comment on it. But, yeah, it's good. It seems to be worth the money so far. And if you like those old classic NES platformers, yeah, this is a really good compilation of them. So, yeah, that's been pretty much it for me.
All right. Well, what about you, Pat?
In continuity of recent weeks, I finally got started on a diet for my peripheral vascular disease. It's ketogenic, basically Atkins without the evil.
Right.
But it fits my style of eating because it's just cutting out the carbs primarily. I'm still consuming, vast amounts of dead animal flesh and
yeah,
you know, dairy. It's all good. Just the carbs are out, and a week into it, I'm supposed to be feeling like shit, but I still feel fine. So I'm kind of chalking that up to just having been used to feeling sick and miserable as a condition of just being. And so whatever this diet is supposed to lay on you when you're just adapting to it is nothing in comparison.
Oh, well.
I feel fantastic. My calories are down. My carbs are way down. And this is going to be a thing.
Okay.
And,
awesome.
The roommates have actually been all about this for quite some time, and I'm just joining them on it. So.
Oh, that's cool, because if you guys, like, start buying vegetables and shit, you can... you can kind of split it up because, you know, you buy a big-ass bag of romaine lettuce and who the hell can eat that much?
Exactly.
You gotta split it. Yeah. That's cool.
Yep. So.
Well, we're all getting at that age now where we kind of have to watch what we eat anyway.
Yeah.
Those 20s are long gone. We can't eat like that anymore.
And they were good days, though, weren't they?
Oh.
I rode them out a lot longer than I should have, probably. as in, up until about last week. But yeah, otherwise, I finished the Trails in the Sky, the third review, and... I like reviewing games, but I'm always more relaxed when I'm not actively reviewing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, you know, just doing some downtime gaming for me. Probably going to get back to the YouTube channel here that I've been neglecting for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do a little streaming, but yeah, it's good times. I'm feeling good and just, you know, looking forward to what's next.
Yeah, cool.
All right. All right. Well, what about you, Chris?
Well, I've been watching a number of random Netflix comedy specials since mm-hmm. they have a ton that are exclusive to them. I watched the Trevor Noah special, which came out a few months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really quite good. He talked a lot about his experiences from moving out of South Africa up to the U.S. and talking about a lot of the political stuff as you would expect, and it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Another one I watched was I think his name was Vaz Deer or Virdas. I think it's mm-hmm. Virdas. V-I-R. D-A-S. He's an Indian mm-hmm. comic who actually did two shows, one in New York, one in Bangladesh, I think, his hometown, and mm-hmm. Sort of cuts between the two, which was a pretty cool way to present that show, especially since he's able to go from talking about jokes specific to India and then to stuff that relates to America. Mm-hmm. It's pretty well done. Another one was the new Maria Bamford special, mm-hmm. Which is done really weird. So it kind of ramps up from her kind of doing bits in her mirror mm-hmm. to like one guy sitting on a couch to a couple of people sitting on like a bus waiting bench to just kind of ramps up all the way up to an actual crowd. It's just kind of doing constant jokes throughout this whole bit, as well as a couple of small things where she's at her merch table trying to sell stuff like a pencil that has the word hope written on the bottom. so that you have to slowly grind away at hope to get the thing that you want. That sort of joke. It's really well done. It's just really presented in a weird way that was interesting to watch. Mm. And that was kind of the most of it. It was interesting seeing a couple of specials that sort of dealt with post-Trump election stuff and seeing how some of these comics are tackling that stuff. And as for game stuff, kind of dabbling in Destiny and Diablo 3. With Destiny, been playing some more of the single-player expansion levels. I think I finished the Fist of Crota expansion that came out shortly after the original game came out. And did some more of the side stuff that, for whatever reason, they were giving away loot crates for doing some of this stuff. Which is stuff that you actually have to pay for normally, but hey, free loot for at least trying out some of the modes, which was nice to see, and getting some better loot on my main guy. So that was pretty cool, and starting to look at some of my quests that I have that they can get pretty long as far as like amount of steps that have you do. Some of them are just basic, you know, play this this mission in this story, then play the next one, and then play the next one. But others are like, you know, go do patrol missions, which is sort of their open world stuff, and just do X amount of these kinds and X amount of these kinds. My problem is they don't really explain it too well which ones are which. Cause they only just show you icons. So I have to go sit here and Google it and figure out where the hell this is at. And then just randomly appear as far as the different mission points. But also kind of getting frustrated in some parts because I got a quest line that needed me to go to a specific part of the Mars map. And they don't really give you a map to look at to tell you where to go or to make it easy to know how you get there. So I had to look it up on Google, and then all the sites I tried to pull up decided to stop working. So it's me sitting here getting pissed, like, I just want to see a fucking map. And Google won't let me see it, and it's just stupid stuff like that. Eventually I figured it out and go to this weird part of the map and just hope the thing that I needed to spawn, the little event that needed to spawn, spawned, and it did. So still a lot of people playing that game, still pretty good. Diablo 3... kind of just messing around with doing more bounty stuff as well as my survival character and my season character. So just keep pushing that stuff forward. Also played some more PSVR stuff, getting back into that as we have three new videos up on the site for the various things I tried out, which one was Nog, G-N-O-G. This is going to probably make it sound worse than it actually is, but, you know, the sort of like kids' toys that are like a little dashboard with a bunch of buttons that do different things. Mm-hmm. It's like the VR version of that, where you have this little toy box to mess around with. And you sort of mess around with it and figure out the how to solve the puzzles that it has. It's nothing too complex. I didn't get... I only had like one puzzle that kind of stumped me until I figured out the solution. Even then, it was like, okay, you have to figure out this six-part password that you had to enter in with these four buttons. Mm. And since it's in VR, it's kind of hard to like write down the code. So it's like, okay, I got to figure out, okay, this is like the second one and the fourth one, maybe the fifth. Okay, now I got to go do this other thing to pull up the other numbers and just try and remember it all. It was a little bit complicated, but overall it was a pretty good game for... and the weird thing is we got a code for it, review code. So I used that on my alternate account since I had actually pre-ordered it a while back. And the weird thing is the pre-order version was not playable until... an hour after it released to everybody else.
Hmm.
The expiration on the pre-order, like when it unlocked, was at noon instead of 11 o'clock when it actually went live on sale, which is weird. It's like, I paid for this and I'm not allowed to play it for another hour on my main account. But the good thing was the pre-release version, for whatever reason, didn't install trophies correctly, so that was just a weird situation. But the other stuff I played there was two of the music experiences, one featuring the Chainsmokers, which was actually pretty good. It's playing one of their songs, Paris, and you're kind of going through these kind of Rez-esque sort of sequences, not necessarily abstracted to that degree, but you're kind of on this straight line path through it. You can look around as your cursor and sort of interact with things, and then at certain points it gives you two paths to go. So I essentially went through it twice, just picking the other path when they had those choices. So that was pretty cool, especially having never heard of their music, but having heard their name a lot lately. The other one involved a violinist named Joshua Bell, I think his name is. It was just a taped session in one of Sony's music studios, which was weird because it was mainly just like a 3D sort of VR thing.
Yeah.
Like looking around at some of the stands for like the mics and such, they look like they're floating on the ground for whatever reason. Like the people actually looked fine. It was just him and a pianist. And but any of the stands I looked down at looked just weird and looked like reflections were also weird. Like they were reflecting off of things that didn't look like they were glass or shiny in any way. So it was a little bit weird, but it was nice to see like 3D video that didn't look like a shit because it's able to be streaming locally instead of online.
Yeah.
Mm. The other things I played were Race the Sun, which just got a big PSVR update recently, which actually works pretty well. That is an endless runner, sort of where you're piloting this ship, and you have to keep it in the sunlight as the sun is going down, hence the name Race the Sun. Mm. As the sun's going down, there are more shadows in the course, and you're trying to not crash into anything and stay in the sunlight and collect power-ups and such. And that works really well for a game that's about, it's not that fast, but it is kind of a speedy kind of racing thing, but it has no problems because you're going at one constant speed for the most part. It has options for first person or third person view. Both are fine, but yeah, that was pretty cool to see. They also added in that update like a Zen mode that still has scoring and all that, but it's just kind of a little bit easier and just kind of a chill mode. The other game I played was also Cyber Danganronpa VR The Class Trial, which is like a tech demo thing that they put out, showing you how you can maybe do that game in VR, which the originals are kind of like, what if Japan made Saw?
It would, yeah.
Oh my God.
No, that's,
yep.
No, that
features
valid.
High schoolers. You have a demon bear thing, that is sort of instigating all of this and has the kids, trying to knock each other off. Without getting caught. If they get caught, they go to this like class trial thing where they can defend themselves or pin it on somebody else or whatever. And it's sort of like all the 999 Virtue's Last Reward kind of games as well, where there's a lot of replayability as you learn more things about what's going on. So
yep.
This demo just showed the class trial stuff where you had like a truth gun to shoot at when they made their statements, they would pop out physically in the middle. And so you would be able to analyze it and it would say like above 80% is most likely a lie. And so one person's statements goes to like 95, and you shoot it, and then everybody accuses them, and then it ends, kind of. And then you just kind of get on this little conveyor belt, stuck to this conveyor belt, that is a crusher on it, and you just get crushed. That's how they end. It's like a 5-10 minute thing. So I hope they actually are able to pull that out into a full game. So right now it seems like it's probably not going anywhere.
Hmm.
But yeah, that would be cool to see some more Japanese stuff get out there, because they can make crazy shit, and given VR, we already seen the Dead or Alive beach volleyball stuff, where it's just all about ogling women.
Yeah.
And obviously that summer lesson stuff where it's that, but you're with a teenage girl, high school girl, like learning English or teaching English or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I think that recently got an Asian version with English in it. So people here are more readily importing it. So I might have to check that out just to see what the hell that's all about. All I've seen is I think Giant Bomb was playing the Japanese version, kind of just fumbling around because they don't know any actual Japanese. So that, and looking at Twitter's, where they people put up their share videos of that, and people doing exactly what you think they would. And making sure everybody else in the world can see it too. So, yeah, that's kind of been it. How about you, Teresa?
I got back into Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, been playing through. Having a good time. But I have such a long way to go.
We'll get you there.
Hey, you get me to the border in Mexico? Good, good. I've also
that escalated
playing
quickly.
Well, it does when you ride wet like the wind. Harvest Moon Magical Melody, went back to playing that too. You know, some people play games and they just put them down for a while, but that one I keep going back to, so I can kind of binge it and then take like a 5-month break. And come back and binge it. I mean, this is an old GameCube game, guys. I could take a 3-year break and come back and do it again. So I got my little blue feather so I can get married. That'll be cool. The little challenge in order to get that was, I don't know. I didn't like the controls of it. It was like a rock slide avalanche thing, and you were, yeah, it was kind of, but I got through it, so that was nice. But I've also been finishing, well, not finishing, halfway through, I would say, Adam Ruins Everything. And that's getting great. I love the little quips that are in there, the little things that, you know, if you're not paying attention, you can miss it real fast.
Yeah.
And,
which episode did you leave off of?
Oh, we've been going out of order.
Oh, okay. So what was the last one you watched?
What was the last? It was Prison.
Prison?
One.
Right.
That All one right. was actually a little heart-wrenching.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that one was hard. I haven't gotten the questions from the 9-year-old about it because he did watch with us. So he's definitely getting an education.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you already watched the one about voting yet?
Yes.
Okay, you've seen that one. Okay.
Yeah, and I think I might have seen that on YouTube or something around election time. I had watched that before. So yeah, it's hard, but you know, these are things that you really need to know if you're not already aware of them. And I'm glad that I've been aware of some of the things that he's brought up, but definitely not everything. So this is, we always got to learn new things.
And you know that, and just the reassurance is the fact that he shows his sources on the show. So
yes, he does.
You can actually look it up for yourself if you don't quite believe him.
Yep. And that is wonderful, because otherwise, why should we believe him?
Yep.
No source, no sale.
Right.
And then I also did a small movie marathon of some Wes Anderson movies. Because, previously all I had seen was Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I have watched many times.
Mm-hmm.
This did not include Moonrise Kingdom. I think that I would be kind of in deep trouble if I watched that while someone was gone to work and didn't wait for him. So I started with The Grand Budapest Hotel, and I wish I had left that for last. Because that was... It was amazing. It was amazing. I also did Darjeeling Limited, and man, talk about an ambiguous ending. I mean, you just don't even know where that's going to go. That was kind of a nuts movie, but it was neat. And Royal Tenenbaums, which we had owned at one point and didn't watch and got rid of. Then I decided to watch a Criterion copy of it. And you know what? Families are messy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good afternoon. But I definitely had a sore butt after I was done. But that's about it. What have you been doing?
All right. Well, first things first, I finished Persona 5.
Yeah.
Yep, it's done. And I already kind of sort of started my new game plus. So
so you didn't really finish it. You just got through the main story.
Yeah. Persona 5, holy crap, that game is amazing. There were a lot of things about that I did not expect, and directions I didn't expect them to go in, until like, okay, so, not really spoiler, but there's a reason why, Igor, you know, in the Velvet Room, why his voice seems different. And you find out. Yeah. Also, the last boss is, he is a bitch to fight. Although that's partly due to the fact that there's like only the sort of mini dungeon that you have to go through to get up to him is like it's only got like one save point in the whole thing, and that's at the very beginning. So you have to go through all that. There's something also I noticed about how the dating works in that game. Because just like in, you know, the Persona games past, you can start up a relationship with one of the female confidants in the game. There's either, you know, your fellow, Phantom things. So, you know, Anne and Futaba and any of them, or you can start up a relationship with Dr. Takami, I'm trying to remember, Takami. But she's the Takami, the clinic doctor. Oya, who's the journalist. And, you know, your homeroom teacher. And I noticed the way that the relationships with those things are treated differently, because with the other Phantom themes, they're sort of more or less in your age group, and it's all, you know, it's really sweet and really innocent, and they're all nervous and everything. Whereas if you're hooking up with one of the older women, they basically just kind of perv out over you.
Is it like in Persona 4 where there's the one nurse woman that's just constantly hitting on you?
Yep, basically. I basically said it best on Facebook, just like, you know, doing it with the teenage dating, it's like, I think I love you, senpai. Whereas with, like, the older women, it's like, you and me are gonna fuck, kid. I totally hooked up with Dr. Lady, by the way. But
well, of course.
Yeah, I think that definitely goes some different in Persona 4, where she just kind of teases you for a while and then just talks about how she's the death.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah, so that game was good, so I finished it. I've put it more or less kind of put it on the back burner. So I went, downloaded, and am now playing Shiness on my PS4. It's the Shiness Lightning Kingdom. It is very fun, very entertaining, but it is cliche as all hell.
Yeah.
It is very, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, shonen anime style. Hmm. But it is a lot of fun, and I do like the sort of battle system it has, where it's like kind of a sort of a mini fighting game type thing, where you go up against one opponent at a time when you go up, when you find enemies in the wild. It's obvious that that game was made on a very low budget, though. Some of the textures are kind of rough. It's definitely worth playing, though.
I look forward to getting around to it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I did that. As far as anime goes, I finished Future Diary. And yeah, that actually kind of ended up ending the way I kind of thought it was going to, believe it or not. I just didn't quite realize just the extent of it. Like, the last four episodes of that show are intense as all hell. Basically, you find out that there's a reason why Yuno Gasai is Queen Yandere herself. And she has a very good reason to be. For the record, even though she has a reason, she is still very much fucking insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole thing, there's a point in that show where Yuki basically, he gets to a point where he just really doesn't give a shit anymore. Like, he's finally sort of, he reached the moral event horizon, and now he just wants the whole thing to stop. So now, by the time the show is over, he's killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the way that that show ends, though, is pretty amazing. And I do like the way that the sort of character arcs that all the characters have, including, you know, herself. The scariest thing about Yuno is that she's so, like, charming and cute that you forget that it's all very easy to almost forget, yeah, that she will kill you. But every so often, the mask will drop, and what it shows is pretty, really fucking and goddamn terrifying, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, so I finished that. I'm halfway through Angel Beat.
You are savoring that one.
Yeah. I am amazed at how much they're able to accomplish in just a 13 episode anime.
When your writers are good enough, you can.
Mm-hmm. So I found out actually originally that apparently, so Angel Beats was originally not supposed to be an anime first project. It was apparently going to be a sort of a tie-in to a visual novel that they were working on that was also called Angel Beats, which did eventually come out.
I will do my utmost to hide my surprise.
Yeah, but originally, and I just found out this the other day, originally Angel Beats was supposed to be an RPG. Which makes you understand why the first couple of episodes go so deeply into Yeah, weapons crafting.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, it's a key anime, so, you know it's going to be really funny and really heart-wrenching at the same time, and also have some amazing music. So, but I'm about halfway through it. I haven't finished it yet.
Do you already know? Well, what it is, really?
Yeah, pretty much. I already kind of know, you know, what this place is supposed to be. I mean, from the get go, they tell you in the first episode what exactly this school is supposed to be. It's purgatory, basically. Yeah. But there's a little bit more going on underneath it that you find out later on, and Angel has a bit to do with it. Can I also just mention
you don't know her name yet.
Oh, I do. They already had the thing where they revealed her name. I just can't remember it right now.
Oh, okay. Tachibana Kanade.
Tachibana, that's right. And there's also a reason why she's playing the whole Ice Queen game, So, like, I've got the complete series on Blu-ray. It's a 2-disc set. It's the 13 episodes plus the OVA. So, but, yeah.
What's in the OVA?
I don't want to guess, but I think it might be the alternate ending.
Huh.
I
was not aware of one. That's interesting.
Well, like I said, it was original. It's possible that I'm not quite sure. That's what I'm guessing. Because, remember, this is supposed to be a tie-in to a visual novel.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the visual novel is coming out in 6 installments, and the first one is already out. So, and it actually doesn't necessarily follow the storyline of the anime.
Well, if it did, you wouldn't get 6 games out of it.
Nope. But anyway, so that, also movies. I went and bought the original Ghost in the Shell on Blu-ray because I haven't seen that movie in a while and I wanted to watch it again. I mean, it's an amazing movie. What can I say?
Yeah. I've got it here on DVD. I might as well check it out again sometime.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Brandon. Yeah? Can you let us know how the Blu-ray transfer went after you see it?
Sure.
Because I may need to get a new copy.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, I do believe that's everything. Does anybody have anything else they wanted to bring up? Anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, then I do believe it is once again time for another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And this time I thought we are doing some, it's kind of related to current events. So, as everybody knows, I think a lot of people know that in the West, the religion of Islam is extremely misunderstood in many ways. And part of it is because, far too many, far more intelligent people they tend to look at the Muslim world as sort of a monolith, I guess. Like, they basically seem to not be able to understand the fact that, Islam has a bunch of different sects within it, and they don't always get along, and that they all believe sometimes radically different things. I mean, you've got you've got the Sunni and Shia divide, which is, like, the king of all of them, and then there's, like, a bunch of other little sects that branch off of them. But today I wanted to talk about the one that has more or less for better or worse, impacted the Western world in probably a very negative, well, much of the Muslim world, really, in a very negative way. And that is the sect known as Wahhabism.
Yep.
Wahhabism is essentially a form of fundamentalist Sunni Islam, or at least that's how it started out. A lot of Wahhabists still have Sunni roots. Some of them, on the other hand, sort of take it as a sect on its own. The name Wahhabism, its actual name comes from the name of its founder, which was a sheikh by the name of Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, who lived from 1703 to 1792. Now, you'll realize there, the Muslim religion came into existence around the year 632 AD. So you'll notice this is quite a ways removed from the foundation of Islam. It's actually compared to the history of Islam, it's a fairly recent phenomenon. The thing about this particular sect is it basically kind of grew up out of extreme isolation. It was born within the Arabian Peninsula in its interior, which, if you don't know anything about that particular area, there's a big mountain range. And that mountain range, prior to sort of modern forms of travel, meant that it was heavily cut off from both Mecca and Medina, which so as many...
It's what? One of those places that if you started a game of Civ and your freaking settler was right there, you'd start a new game.
Yeah, basically. it was for the longest time, like, really cut off. And they actually did not realize, because those of you know, up until fairly recently, the Muslim world was more or less ruled over by a caliphate, right? But because the caliphate was in Turkey, and they were completely cut off from that area, they didn't recognize it. And in fact, they had very little contact with it. And because of that, their sort of own little ultra-fundamentalist sect kind of grew up in isolation in this little area. First of all, you also need to understand this. Wahhabism, as we know it, eventually did spread. It would eventually spread into what we now know as Egypt. But it actually did, weirdly enough, though, it mostly opposed, violence for a good chunk of its early history. It was a predominantly nonviolent movement, and it mostly sort of gained followers in places that were really poor and impoverished. But it eventually became a really big deal all over the world. Right around the time that a certain kingdom was established in a place called Arabia. So if you don't know, and I'll go ahead and say it, I am, of course, talking about the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In 1925, Saudi Arabia, as we know it, came into existence by a guy named Ibn Saud, who was a bandit leader in the Arabian deserts. He became an ally of the Wahhabist sect, which, of course, as I mentioned before, I actually got that wrong. 1925, Ibn Saud was actually Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Kingdom had actually existed to that point, but the modern version as we know it now didn't come into existence until 1925. But the actual original Saudi Arabia started all the way back in the 18th century. And it was directly because of the original King Saud himself, with the help of Muhammad al-Wahhab, who was able to eventually sort of marry that form of Wahhabi, what we now know as Salafi Islam, to the royal kingdom. And now you know why Saudi Arabia is so fucked up. Because it directly was founded, connected to this really fundamentalist form of Islam. But so what you need to know also about Wahhabism is that it tends, like I said, it's a very fundamentalist sect that was born mostly in isolationism. But because it's also married to the Saudi royal house, that means that because of that, the Saudi royal house has a lot of money that they can use to spread this particular form of Islam throughout the world through various sort of front organizations and various Islamic foundations that print their particular version of the Quran. So if you ever find like a copy of the Quran, you need to check and see who's publishing it, because there's a 1 out of 10 chance that it's coming directly from the Saudi royal family. Wahhabism, as we know now, the really sort of ultra violent version that we know of, is more or less was born. It mostly stayed isolated in and around the Arabian Peninsula until World War I. Those of you who don't know your history, after World War I was finished, the victors basically divided up the Middle East into various territories that they would control. The country of Syria, for example, is completely artificial. It was born out of this particular event. Then, of course, everybody knows came the Cold War. And, of course, there was World War II as well, and that divided up the Middle East even further within, groups that were with the Allies and those that supported the Nazis. And then after that, of course, came the Cold War. And the thing with the Cold War was that because, America had its policy of détente, it basically did everything it possibly could to try and undermine the Soviets, which of course meant things like supporting, far-right despots, like the original Shah of Iran, for example. And of course, eventually, when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, we supplied a lot of the quote-unquote freedom fighters, the Mujahideen. Guess who one of those happened to be? A little gentleman from an oil family by the name of Osama bin Laden.
Which is the real explanation of the sort of hyperbole that some take in outright saying he was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't, but not far from it.
Yeah.
No. And pretty much ever since then, America, Russia, and all the major powers have been sort of funding various fundamentalist Muslim terrorist groups against each other, sort of as a sort of game of chess, but with actual honest-to-God human lives. And Wahhabism is a pretty good instrument in that particular little game of chess. If you've ever wondered where, in the Muslim world, the extreme violence against women, Jews, foreigners, other Sunni Muslims, Shia Muslims, it's basically from Wahhabism, and Salafism. And as everyone should always remember, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up here, just always remember this, that of all the victims that Wahhabists have had, they have killed more Muslims than any other group of people.
Yep.
So remember, all Wahhabists are Muslims, but not all Muslims are Wahhabists. And most Muslims are not Wahhabists. Far from it, in fact. And frankly, just so you know, the most progressive Muslims in the world live in the United States and Canada. So if you want to change the Muslim world, you need to not try and, I don't know, isolate and repress that particular population, but instead harness them.
Yeah, might be a good thing to try.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump.
And that, yes, and that, ladies and gentlemen, has been Brandon's Random Factoid.
Hmm?
And now you feel a little less stupid. All right, so.
Now for something
Now for something completely stupid. It's now time for our assholes of the week. Chris?
Well, so after months of trying to ram this thing down our throats, they finally figured out how to do it.
Yep.
The House GOP finally forced the AHCA to pass.
By four votes. It won. It literally won by four votes.
Yep, without any sort of CBO assessment for the any sort of financial or any other costs that it would provide, no public posting of it on their sites.
Mm-hmm.
The version's on their sites a couple months old.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently nobody read it on the Republican side.
Nope.
They read parts of it, had their staff read various other parts, but kind of just went in cold.
The people who were all about, we've got to vet this, we've got to vet that. What the hell happened here?
Something they wanted, so they didn't care.
The bill isn't even that fucking long. I mean, they've held up a copy of it. It's like, what, 10 pages?
You can't tell me you didn't have time to sit down and read 10 pages. I mean, Jesus Christ, people.
Yeah. And
when it came together in the last few days.
Yeah, and just some of the shit that's in this thing. So you may have heard somewhere or read somewhere that this basically makes because it's a little bit of hyperbole, but it does have basis in truth. The idea that this bill basically makes sexual assault
a pre-existing condition. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like well, you know, why don't you? Potential things they could bump people for if they want to.
Well, not bump. They're just going to charge them so much that it is essentially bumping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's not because the thing with that is it is a bit hyperbole. It doesn't literally say that, but the way that the thing is written, that it makes it so that, yeah, sexual assault can be a pre-existing condition.
So can acne.
Yeah, it makes
C-sections, anything like that.
It gives them enough wiggle room that they can actually do that.
So if they go ahead and offer a pregnant woman insurance, but they jump the price by $17,000 annually, who's to say that they're going to lower that after the delivery is made?
Exactly.
Is she going to keep paying more than $17,000 a year for health insurance?
Oh, they'll fucking try to make her.
And the teenagers who were treated for acne when they were 15 and they have no acne at age 45, are they still going to be paying more because they had acne at age 15?
If they could do it, they will.
Well, yeah, theoretically, because this is not going
to happen. I saw figures that suggested like young people in the 20s would maybe save a couple $1,000s, and then old people would pay upwards of like $20,000 more.
Yeah. And first of all, I just want to make this clear. I don't see this getting past the Senate.
Well, they've already said, they've confirmed that they will not even vote on it.
Yeah, they said they're going to have to do it all over again.
I mean,
the people redo the whole thing.
I saw a thing from Bernie this afternoon, and he said, I don't want to suggest that we're going to flush it down the toilets and clog it, but this bill can be put right in the trash. We're going to redo. Well, but it's not chosen to redo, though.
Yeah.
But I know that, I mean, the GOPers in the Senate would have to be really, really fucking spineless to let such an unpopular piece of legislation pass. I mean, I know that they love their jobs far too much to go that low.
Yeah. Because the Senate has actual states, whole states they have to worry about voting for them.
Yeah.
Instead of gerrymandered districts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And I also just want to point out, if by some miracle that this piece of legislation does actually pass the Senate and it gets signed into law by Donald Trump, two things are going to happen. First things first, the GOP as we know it is dead.
Yeah.
That will be it. That'll be the nail in the coffin of the Republican Party. Because they will, at that point, they will forever be remembered as the party that robbed millions of Americans of their health insurance by a stroke of a pen.
There's like only, 20 GOP people that voted no?
Mm-hmm.
They might be able to keep their jobs.
Yeah. And second of all, there will be blood in the streets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Straight up. Bullets will fly. You will see corpses hanging from streetlights. The guillotines will come out.
Well, the guillotines have already come out.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because people aren't going to care because it doesn't affect people who have employer-funded health insurance. So they're going to think, what the fuck doesn't affect me? I don't give two shits. What's going to be on Dancing with Stars tonight?
Yeah. See, I ain't talking about those people.
But
I'm talking about the other ones. Because you affect a person's ability to live, shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Did you see what the Republicans did before they voted?
Oh, yeah, I did.
They had a nice little pep rally. They played the Rocky theme song, amongst other music.
Yeah.
Like, Taking Care of Business was supposed to be playing there. And the majority leader, Kevin McCarthy, put an image of George S. Patton on the screen, read inspirational quotes from the general. And I guess by the end, they stood up and said, let's get this fucking thing done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people
did you hear what the Democrats did after the bill passed, though? They did the na-na-na chant.
Yeah.
See that picture of...
And it's thought that it's impossible to suck your own dick.
Yeah.
Yep.
See that's from Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
See the picture of Pat's favorite person running as fast as he could on his little scooter? After he had foot surgery to go vote for this?
Mm-hmm.
On the government dime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, as everybody knows, what kind of also got into this was Joe Walsh. The other one.
We'll talk about
the douchebag
one.
Yes, the douchebag one. The one who used to be an Illinois congressperson.
Yeah.
One of the things people people heard this week was Jimmy Kimmel did his monologue on the show.
Jimmy Kimmel,
Jimmy Kimmel this week for his show, he did a monologue where he talked about his newborn son who was born with a heart condition, and it was a kind of a long story, but it's basically it. Involved the fact that he was lucky because he's wealthy and he can afford good health insurance, but a lot of people can't. And if the health care bill that the Republicans want was go through, that heart condition would be considered a pre-existing condition and he either would not be able to get insurance or would have to pay out the ass for it. Which is a terrible thing, and no person living in a first world nation should have to go through something like that, especially when it's the richest goddamn country on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Walsh, who had to be a dick bag, because that is what he is a dick bag, is like, sorry, but your sad story does not require me to pay for your health care, because he's an asshole.
Yeah. There was a piece in the Washington Times called him an elitist prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy and that's Kimmel the Washington Times, by the way.
Yeah. And then Twitter basically turned its harassment to good for...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It can do that.
Sometimes it can happen.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh is an absolute freaking scumbag. Yeah, I'm so glad that they said, you know, just because you don't want to pay for other people's children and your own children... You know, who the hell, what the hell kind of
politician? Yeah, that's the other thing. He doesn't really like to pay his child support. No, bill, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, and did I also mention that because he served in Congress for about 5 years, he is entitled to state-funded health care for the rest of his natural-born life.
I never voted for him any of that time. He was my congressman. How fucking sad is that? Yeah. There was no better day in 2012 than when Tammy Duckworth won over him.
Yeah.
That was the
he
best
only, answer. He served time. One term.
Did you see the video of him on MSNBC? Where he basically said, as a Trump supporter, I do my best not to listen to what he says. And the woman's like, well, then why are you a Trump supporter?
Oh, my God.
All right, well...
But I think it is only a matter of time now before people start looking at healthcare legislation as a self-defense issue.
I am absolutely convinced by now that we are probably going to have single-payer healthcare probably within the decade.
Yeah, I think you're right. Otherwise...
And this is what's going to bring it about.
Yeah,
this bullshit right here.
Yep.
I've wondered a couple of times, and I know that there's no possible way. I wondered if he could be playing a long con about getting us to it, but there's no way. He's crazy.
No. All right. Well, to get
and you
back
got to Trump bragging to the Australian Prime Minister.
Oh, God, that was
about how they have better health care than we do.
Which is true, because guess what? They have single-payer health care.
Yeah.
They do.
Yep, they totally do.
Bernie Sanders promised to quote him on the floor.
So, all right.
I said everybody has better health care than we do.
Yep. Well, he's not wrong. So, moving on, we're going to wash that taste out of our mouths with the hero of the week, and it's the Obamas. Yep. They are donating $2 million of their own money to the Chicago Jobs Program.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
They could use it.
Yeah, there's two programs they're donating to, $1 million each, I think. One is One Summer Chicago, which is about summer jobs for kids.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Chicagoland Workforce Funder Alliance, which I believe is about more apprenticeship-type stuff.
Yeah.
And sort of along with that, they're doing an Obama Presidential Center that they're going to be setting up to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great. I'm so glad that Barack Obama is acknowledging that the youth of Chicago need something to do while their parents are not home watching them and they're not in school. So they don't, end up getting hit by a stray bullet.
Yeah. Chicago, wasn't it the last that Chicago has like the highest murder rate in the U.S.?
Yeah, pretty much.
Chicago's had a problem with violence for a long time, and
per capita, I don't really think that it's crazy compared to other cities with the same kind of. Well, there really isn't very many. Aren't very many other cities with the same kind of cultural makeup.
Yeah, that's true. But so Obama's basically doing everything he can to make sure that he's still relevant post presidency, and. That's a good start.
Especially the whole stupid controversy. The Wall Street speeches.
Yeah, he freaking out about was paid. Yeah, he was like paid $100,000 for it.
I think $400,000.
Yeah.
Speaking engagements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even they're looking to pull his pension, supposedly, over that.
Yeah, folks in Congress are trying to pull his presidential pension.
Well, every other president in the modern age has had speaking engagements.
Yeah, but this one's
which,
black.
Yeah, black men cannot
they gotta
accept
get back
any
the black
money.
Man for trying to think
God,
better than
they him. Hate him so much that even though he no longer has any political power, they still want to stick it to him.
Yeah.
They don't just.
Well, I mean, look, he's not in the White House, and since he's left the White House, he's done quite a bit to basically show up the current administration.
Well, he's and he's not in the White that. House, and he's still getting blamed for everything by the Republicans.
Still getting blamed. That's because everything Trump is doing to tear down his legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just fired one of the last ushers, the first black woman usher in the White House, and they just fired her.
It's like Sirius Black's mother trying to obliviate Obama off of the big tapestry of American presidents.
Yeah.
And sorry if you guys don't really get into the Harry Potter books. I think I totally just pulled one out of my ass there. I mean, it's not. It's true. It's just like the way that she tried to, because she didn't approve of Sirius, she tried to completely erase him from the family tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're trying to do, is trying to completely obliterate his history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got the help of the media when Fox News puts up constant facts about, Trump has the best job rates in his first 100 days and all these other facts. Like, no, that says Obama gave him the best economy, jobs, all this stuff that we've almost ever had in this country.
I keep seeing air quotes around your word of facts when in conjunction with Fox News.
Very, very large neon green air quotes that are flashing.
Yeah, yes. Blinking.
By the way, speaking of Fox News.
Yeah.
All right, so the co-president of Fox News, Bill Shine, has resigned.
Really?
Yes, and this means that Sean Hannity might follow suit.
Yeah, they were
BFFs. Well, then who's
going to
be left? Then who's going to be left in this shit town of Fox News?
Well, there's Shepard Smith, but he's the one
people.
Respectable guy amongst them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's the douchebags on the Five, the assholes on Fox and Friends.
Hey,
there's still plenty of assholes to go around.
What if by the time we retire, Fox News ends up being, like, the best news ever?
That's going to take a while.
That's going to take a while, but it could happen.
We're not going to retire tomorrow.
So, anyway, Bill Shine, of course, he resigned because, much as with his, the other guy, Roger Ailes, he was responsible for basically, creating an atmosphere of sexual harassment and all that shit.
He's accused of covering
guess
up
who's
Ailes has harassment stuff.
Mm-hmm. And helping to cover it up. And, of course, everybody knows once Roger Ailes left, that was basically the domino that was going to start the whole thing tumbling down. And so we know he's gone. We know Roger Ailes is gone. Bill O'Reilly is gone. Looks like Hannity is going to come next after Shine. By the way, Shine is getting – Bill Shine, by the way, who was president of programming, he is being replaced by Suzanne Scott, a woman.
Yeah.
So basically what it is that the Murdochs have basically kind of realized that – they've kind of hit critical mass here, and they need to start, getting on their shit.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Fox News will just sink.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
But, honestly, I wouldn't shed any tears if Fox News imploded either. Yeah, so,
not really.
Frankly, I see them as one of the biggest sources of evil in America over the last 20 years. So, moving on from there, somebody may have known that the Trump administration put out an advert basically celebrating his first 100 days. It was basically about, yeah, so it was basically 100% bullshit. And because of that, basically all of the major networks refused to air it.
Yeah, mainly due to them calling all of those networks fake news.
Yep.
Sam basically said if they remove this one thing, we would be okay with airing it.
Yeah.
Oh, they refused to because they call it free speech.
Karma, karma, karma.
Yeah, see, that's the part that gets me, too. Again, even these assholes don't realize what free speech means in America.
Especially when they're commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not free speech.
On privately owned networks.
Yeah.
It's actually paid speech.
Yeah, I guess the person in charge of this is his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, called a chilling precedent against free speech rights.
Oh, fuck you.
Apparently, mainstream media are champions of the First Amendment only when it serves their own political views. Face on that,
doesn't
their biased narrative. CNN, ABC, CBS, and NBC now have all chosen to block our ad. Maybe that says something, right?
Yeah.
This is an unprecedented act of censorship in America that should concern every freedom-loving citizen.
Really?
At some point, I don't think a single one of these motherfuckers has enough intelligence to realize that. You know, at some point, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the problem is me.
I don't know much about the Cardassians, but which group is smarter, the Cardassians or the Trumps?
At this point,
Kardashians.
They're making
Oh, shit, I said Cardassians again.
It's fine. We know what you meant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've seen Kim Kardashian's ass, so.
Oh.
It works.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch that video. Wait, seriously? Is that why the video is so popular? Was she taking up the Hershey Highway?
No, I was talking about the spread she did for that magazine.
No.
Oh, no, didn't see that either.
But anyway, yeah, the Kardashians, just the fact that Bruce Jenner alone is in that family basically puts the intelligence points for that family well above the Trumps.
Yeah.
But the thing is though, they're also kind of sort of celebrating the fact that apparently the ad kind of sort of went viral because of the backlash.
Here's the ad you're not supposed to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, mockery is not really what you want, which is what you're getting.
I think that kind of an ego just wants whatever it gets and construes it how he wills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Yeah.
Yet another alternative.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. All right, so moving on from there, we reported last week about the potential of another writer's strike in Hollywood. Well, it was just avoided at the last minute with a very, very quick deal that they managed to throw together pretty much at the 11th hour.
Mm.
Which is usually how these things end up going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't get
basically
most of the things they wanted. But it gets enough that they're going to be appeased for the, I think it's 3 years?
For the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after that's up, they go back to the negotiating table. But that's good, so it doesn't mean we have to be, you know, inundated with any more reality shows.
We don't need a Real Housewives of insert city here.
Yeah. There's far too many of those.
I think there's like 14 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Who watches this shit?
My mom.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Does she know?
She is likes it, them. I don't know why.
Seems like the thing that's replacing soap operas at this point.
Is it like almost. If there's Pepsi in the fridge, you'll just go ahead and drink it because it's there?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's like the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Just leave it on all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Well, that's good. That much is at least
settled.
Means we don't have to go through all that bullshit again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so everybody remembers last week we talked about the failure of the Fire Festival fiasco.
Fuck oh, yeah, up. We took the piss out of that, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that was just a giant bit of schadenfreude for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, aw, poor babies.
Yeah, I saw some sort of profile of people that went there, and there's one guy that won it through his work.
Yeah.
So he said he mostly enjoyed the festival because he got to see a bunch of rich people freaking out the entire time.
Yeah. And I, of course, you know, said that, you know, they should have just left them there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been the greatest reality show ever made.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Granted, it probably would have only lasted like four. I'm pretty sure it would have only lasted like four episodes, though, because by then all of them would be dead. But
yeah.
Anyway, so $100 million class action suit has been filed. In the wake of that, which is surprisingly lower than I thought they would go for.
Yeah. A lot of the details are crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's
like
go ahead.
Just they ran low on cash because they spent all their money on models, yachts, and I forget what the other thing is here. It's like just spent all their money on superfluous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the actual festival itself.
You know,
preparing the venue.
Bodies,
yeah.
Or an actual loading bay and equipment to get things off the goddamn ships. Have they never
yeah.
learned logistics?
Yeah, the Ooh. Second article has quotes from somebody that was actually one of the organizers of the festival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there was no infrastructure to even support the equipment. They didn't even have a loading dock. They had no understanding of what vehicles were on the island to move the stuff once it got there. They said stuff like, don't worry about customs. It's only for a weekend. You don't have to worry about customs. Turns out customs was something that Billy McFarland, one of the founders of the festival, should have worried about. Customs has the area on lockdown because Billy has not paid customs duty taxes on the items that he imported, said the Ministry of Tourism. Yeah, so they should have had all this stuff going in weeks ahead of time, but tried to get in the last minute. Because they underestimated the idea of importing stuff to other countries. It takes time and money. The toilet and shower supplier, who did not get the Fire Festival contract, told the organizers it would cost north of $1 million just to order the equipment. A rush order markup he unironically referred to as, quote-unquote, disaster pricing. That number did not include the cost of shipping the equipment to the island or the high cost of the barge you need to dispose of the wastewater created by thousands of people showering and using the toilet for 4 days.
So, on the one hand, I do kind of feel bad that they all got scammed. On the other hand, fuck them.
Yeah, they paid, they paid Kim Kardashian $250,000 to advertise the festival, a bunch of other people on Instagram, you know, the influencers, none of whom were paid less than $20,000. One person that was familiar with that stuff. Only one person labeled it as an ad. So the FTC might be getting involved now.
It just gets better and better.
Oh, yeah. But Billy McFarland, the guy who paired up with Ja Rule to make this thing, has kind of a history of scamming the far too wealthy millennial crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. The Fire Festival employee said planning for the event took on the feel of an extended spring break frat party. McFarland and members of his team would fly down every other weekend for lavish vacations on nearby islands, but only male employees and models were allowed to go. Billy would take all the boys down there, would be boys only, employee said. They talk about fucking bitches and hoes in conference meetings. The employee said McFarland would often urinate in the office with the door open for employees to see. Quote, it's a boys' club. They laugh about it. Another former contractor called the environment low-key sexist and racist. Yeah, all sorts of great stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
That guy, hope he loses his shirt.
Oh, yeah, and they're also following up with people on refunds, offering them double or nothing, essentially, for next year's festival. So if they ordered 3 tickets, they could get 6 tickets for free for next year's festival.
Good luck with that.
Fool me once.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, there's the court papers are on here. It's like 8 pages, or more than that, I think. Full PDF, lots of shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great reading if you want to see how badly rich people can fuck things up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And how much you cannot feel sorry for them at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we got some music news. The Eagles are actually suing an establishment called Hotel California over trademark infringement.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's all right. Not entirely surprising.
Yeah, so it's in Baja, for those who are wondering. And basically it's a, you know, it's, I mean, obviously everybody knows the song, but there's been like a shit ton of merchandise the band has sold bearing that name.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But the weird thing is this hotel was opened up in 1950 as Hotel California.
Mm-hmm. But then it went through a bunch of different
ownership and name changes. So
yeah, it didn't really go back to the name we have now until 2001.
Yeah.
But oh, did I mention that they also sell? They also play the Eagles music and sell T-shirts that refer to the hotel as Legendary Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where they fucked up.
Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they're actually capitalizing on it.
Yeah.
Directly, which is when. That's where they fucked up, right there.
That's where it goes from coincidence.
It's a very easy Venn diagram. Things that are okay. This.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So. Yeah, fuck these people. I hope they get sued out the ass.
Yeah, they can check out any time they like, but they can never leave.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm going to have to put you down.
No, man, I made worse ones on this episode. Let Phil be.
Yeah. Anyway, so as everybody knows, a lot of schools around the country are going through their final exams. Obviously, like where I live, the school's going to be going out for summer vacation. I think like either next week or the week after. But in Kentucky, they of course are getting ready to do their final exams. And one thing about final exams in college is that they can drive people a little crazy. And can get them kind of desperate. So this particular student, he also got a little desperate. So he decided that late at night, he was going to crawl through an air duct at one of the buildings on campus that had the instructor's office, which supposedly was supposed to be where the final exams were for his statistics class. If you've ever watched the Boondock Saints, you'll know why this is a bad idea. Because air ducts are not meant to hold a human body.
No.
Yeah, though in this issue, that wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
No.
It's because his professor was working late.
Yep. So let's see. One of the students, Henry Lynch II, had made his way through the duct a distance of less than 10 feet to the third floor office of the instructor, John P. Kane. Mr. Lynch made his way from the ceiling and lowered himself the 8 feet to the floor. Mr. Blanton noticed the office had file cabinets and other furniture that would serve as footholds to help the client down from the drop ceiling. But it was not clear how or where Mr. Lynch gained access to the duct. Once inside the office, Mr. Lynch, a 21-year-old junior studying biosystems engineering, opened the door for another student, Troy Kapoof, a 21-year-old sophomore studying agricultural economics.
Not stupid enough to get that far in those majors, especially.
No.
But stupid enough to do this.
Yeah. It's not clear how long the two were in the office before Mr. Kane returned from his late-night meal and found that something was blocking the door when he tried to open it. When Mr. Kane yelled out that he was going to call the police, the students burst from the office and ran down the hall.
Oh, God.
And, of course, because they knew that they would probably get recognized, they went to the cops and confessed.
Wow.
They were charged with felony.
If he wasn't humming the Mission Impossible theme then pretty much the entire time, I'm going to be very unhappy.
Both were charged with felony burglary. They are scheduled to be arraigned on June 26th.
So instead of potentially failing a test, they might be going to jail.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a nice 180.
Yeah.
Calculus is obviously not their major.
That's one to put in the book of what the fuck is wrong with you.
Yep.
Also, just goes to show that, you know, book smarts and common sense don't necessarily equal the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to cheat on the test, so I don't think he had the book smarts either.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so, moving on into science news. So in Antarctica, there is this glacier called the Taylor Glacier. And the glacier has this one weird feature about it. It occasionally has these, well, you guys click the link and you'll see. Basically, for whatever reason, it looks like this fucking thing is hemorrhaging gallons and gallons of blood.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why it's called Blood Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah, they kind of thought it was always due to red algae in the water that was under the ice sheet.
But it turns out
they found out that let's see, there was a super salty pool of water called brine water that was hidden under there potentially for more than a million years.
I was going to say mineral deposit, so I wasn't too far. And
well, you're not.
The water is iron rich, so when it's since it's so salty, it's able to survive under the ice without melting or freezing. And once it gets out, the iron in the water instantly oxidizes and rusts.
And it turns bright, bright red.
Yep.
It's,
That is a fascinating chemical phenomenon.
Yeah.
Million-year-old.
But yeah, the algae thing, a lot of people thought at first that, yeah, it would be just a lot of red algae, and that does happen. They call it red tide.
Yeah, and you don't want to get close to it to take that picture.
No, because it usually houses anthrax.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's going to be a new thing. I saw a story about that. They're going to be having potential for prehistoric diseases to come back.
Oh,
because the world is warming up and all that sort of permafrost. I think Russia already had an attack where potentially a deer that had anthrax from ages ago melted, and a bunch of people got anthrax up in Russia.
Yeah.
From that, so.
Of course, the good thing is if you get it quick enough, you'll be fine. But
yeah. A bunch of them died, so they didn't.
Yeah.
So now if it's not the rising waters, it's ancient diseases.
And scholars actually believe that biblical scholars think that story in the Old Testament about where the rivers turn to blood, that might be where this comes from. That, of course, is whether or not you actually trust any anything in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Man, goat herders didn't even know how to freaking write. I don't trust any of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, bunch of Jews walking in the desert for 40 years. Nobody started a deli. Come on. Comedy.
Okay. You said mine was bad?
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so, moving on. Speaking of glaciers, the United Arab Emirates, or as I like to call it, the United Assholes Emirates.
You're not wrong.
No, not really.
Dubai is sort of like what you imagine, like imagine the worst stereotype of a one percenter, like ultra rich douchebag you can think of. Now make that reality and turn it into a whole city. That's Dubai.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the UAE has been having problems with keeping fresh drinking water. And so they've decided that they're going to straight up just tow some icebergs from Antarctica to the UAE to solve their drinking problem.
They must have some badass haulage vehicles for that.
This is the United Arab Emirates. They can fucking afford it. Trust
they have
me.
All the oil needed to power whatever the hell.
All the oil and all the slave labor.
Yes.
Yeah, they'd essentially send a couple of tankers down with I don't know if they have anything here about what they're going to particularly use to drag it. But there's a great CG rendering of this like proposal that features polar bears and penguins hanging out around here, which, yeah, as normal people know, polar bears are not in the Antarctic. They're up north.
Yeah.
So they're not
this
hanging out with polar bears.
Looney Tunes shit.
They're not hanging out with penguins.
Nope.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
It's a great little video, but yeah, essentially going to have tankers go down there with some sort of pulley system. The video kind of shows like big like buoys kind of like that to drag it along. Hmm. Essentially drag it from a specific island up to the UAE. Hmm. And it would take about a year essentially to go back and forth. But that average iceberg, they say, get about 20 billion gallons of water.
Yeah. You don't do it very often.
I'm
sure Acme's got something for that.
And they got enough for about 1 million people for 5 years, so they wouldn't have to do it necessarily that often.
They're going to spend it all on their goddamn ski slope, or use it all on that.
And
A ski slope in Dubai.
In the middle of the fucking desert.
Yeah, they also think they might be able to create microclimates in the region, bring rain to their desert landscape. They suggest it might take a while to melt naturally.
That's
Says around 80% of their overall mass usually remains underwater, while the exposed white ice above reflects sunlight and thus heat, reducing the amount of water that it evaporates. It also might bring tourism to the area, too. Come hang out in their iceberg.
That's all I would want to do on my vacation. Go look at some giant displaced iceberg.
This is some Futurama
shit. In the middle
of
a fucking desert.
This is exactly some Futurama shit.
Yeah.
That's what the second episode.
We're now living in it, folks.
Yeah.
Where they fucking shoot the ball of trash into the sun. Then grab a iceberg from one of the polar caps to melt and keep the water cool.
Yep. So, wonderful. So,
well, it's a solution. There.
Beautiful. So,
I just want to see this thing in motion.
You'll get video.
Yeah, they're planning to start it next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll get video. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Now,
it's going to be one of the greatest moments in YouTube history.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. In some tech news, Lund University has actually developed a 5 trillion FPS camera, which can actually capture light standing still.
This is cool. That's shit.
Pretty close to that. About 0.2 trillionths of a second per shot.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're pretty much using as planning to use this for mainly studying research stuff. To be able to study a lot of different scientific processes like chemistry, physics, biology, and biomedicine stuff that it's not really been able to be caught on film to study.
Yeah, because it happens so damn fast.
Yep.
Yeah. Now they can actually slow it down.
Yeah, if you get something that can capture the individual photons as they're moving through through space, that's pretty huge.
Yeah. The way this works is they call it FRAME, for Frequency Recognition Algorithm for Multiplex Exposures.
Mm-hmm.
Regular camera with a flash uses regular light, but in this case the researchers used coded light flashes as a form of encryption. Every time a coded light flash hits the object, for example, a chemical reaction in a burning flame, the object emits an image signal response with the same exact coding. Following light flashes all have different codes, and the image signals are captured in one single photograph. These coded image signals are subsequently separated using an encryption key on the computer.
Nice.
So it's a little like Lytro, but really, really, really detailed.
Mm-hmm.
That's really freaking cool.
Yes, it is. All right, well, now we got some news about Taco Bell. Oh, kind of a downgrade, isn't it?
We went from revolutionary camera to tacos. Okay.
Yeah. So, Taco Bell is actually going to be introducing something new this month. It's going to be on the 11th. It is their Naked Chicken Chips, which is literally nacho-shaped chicken nuggets with cheese sauce.
Yeah.
Nacho
cheese
sauce.
Nacho cheese sauce. Chicken.
Yeah. $2 for six pieces, 12 for three. Or you can get in a combo with a burrito supreme, crunchy taco, and a medium drink for $5.
Yeah.
If there were any Taco Bells around here, I probably would try this.
I guess it's a limited time thing they're doing.
Yeah. Or, you know, then again, so was the Doritos Locos Taco. And that thing's
like
depends
on how people like it.
Yeah. That shit's like a... You know, now they're also supposed to start slowly but surely starting to bring fries over here too. So
I think it's also Taco Bell's that are doing beer.
Wait, Taco Bell is going to start having French fries?
Well, they already do up in Canada. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Tell her, Phil.
Yeah. Most Taco Bells that I go to have them. There's just none around here. That's the problem.
What the hell? Why would you get fries at a Taco Bell?
Oh.
You know what's the worst? What's the even
Pizza
weirder?
Pizza Hut has them here.
What?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my
Pizza
God.
Hut has, over there has fries, too. Here's the thing, though. From what I've heard folks say, who live up in Canada, Taco Bell's fries are actually pretty top tier.
Yeah.
What the hell? My world stopped making sense. I just can't process this shit. Someone
That's why it's one of the reasons I like to go to Mexican restaurants. They have a quote unquote American Grill section in their menus because they usually cook that stuff on the same, you know, the same griddle that they make the carne asada on.
Carne asada.
So it means you get all the awesomeness that's been on the griddle with the carne asada onto your hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Oh, you are onto something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are definitely Pizza Huts mixed with KFCs and Taco Bell, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, they're called Kentucky Hut. They're called Kentucky Hut.
Yeah. So you can get your pizza, your fried chicken, and your Taco. At the same place. Yeah.
There was one around here. It was, I think it was Pizza Hut mixed with, seriously, a Long John Silver's.
Yep.
Because
I'll believe
you
it.
Want fish smelling pizza. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll believe it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Taco Bell, I swear. Has it just me or has Taco Bell basically been completely taken over by stoners at this point?
They got that new, what is it, in Las Vegas where they're going to start marrying people at Taco Bell?
Yep.
They had a big contest to determine who the first person was going to be. It was Dan Reichert over at Game Inform, not Game Informer, Giant Bomb. And his fiance are getting married there.
Wow.
Because they were basically going to plan to just go down to the courthouse and get married that way. And he said, we'll try this. Now they're going to be the first people to get married at a fucking Taco Bell.
Now that's classy.
But like, seriously, I'm serious though. Look at what Taco Bell has put on their menu in the last 10 years. You've got a fucking, you know, you've got the, first of all, the absolute is the Doritos Locos Taco.
Yeah, that's where the stoner prevailed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, you've got like the grillers and the fucking, you know, all that stuff, and then you've got, you know, they're making burritos where they put, you know, hot Cheetos in them. Mm-hmm. And now you've got this shit.
Hey. It's working for them, so
apparently.
Yep.
God damn. Well, anyway, so hold on. HBO is looking.
You know what they win for that wedding?
What was that?
Let's see. Airfare for six to Las Vegas. Taco Bell catered dinner at your Las Vegas cantina restaurant. Taco Bell wedding T-shirts, champagne flutes, garter, and bow tie. Professional wedding photography, videography. Mm-hmm. Room at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Two tickets for the High Roller at the Link. I guess that's a, I don't know, like a, they have a picture of a Ferris wheel here. I guess some sort of like a festival place or something like that.
Yeah.
Private pool cabana at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino pool. VIP table for six at Dry's Nightclub at the Cromwell in conjunction with Favored Nations Entertainment. Entry for two and $100 credit the Quad Bath Spa at Caesar's Palace. Mm. I like that the wedding catering is Taco Bell. Mountain Dew or champagne.
You know what? Even still, man, they are saving a shit ton of money, and that's kind of a cool setup.
Yeah.
My God, that's a solid prize.
Yeah, it is.
They're gonna have a great wedding.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
And chalupas at the
end.
Oh
man.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Oh my God, a chalupa wedding cake. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Chalupas and fries.
All right.
So.
God damn it.
HBO.
Yeah. So HBO has announced that they're looking in developing Game of Thrones spinoffs. And they could certainly do it.
Because that show is ending soon.
Yeah,
two more
but they got a lot to choose from, so they could definitely come up with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they're going to.
I mean, there's like a million characters in that. Yeah, there's like a million characters in that show. They could. I've been heard that they could just make a Duncan and Egg spinoff. those you don't know, that's the novella series that's sort of in the Song of Ice and Fire universe, but like hundreds of years. Prior.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
They could cover the rebellion that leads to Robert becoming king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can get your dragon shit there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, look for more, blood and tits.
Yeah.
Blood and tits.
Potentially got four scripts for new shows in the works.
Yeah, I really can't wait for this next season.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting on the sixth book.
Yeah.
The show is probably going to finish before the book season does.
No, the show is definitely going to finish before the book comes out.
Mm.
But anyway, so okay, so to round this up, finally, we're going to be talking about some movie trailers. And first of all, just so everybody knows, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came out today. I have not gone to see it yet. I'm going to go see it Sunday, Sunday afternoon, and I have been told that it is good.
I've already seen a spoiler on Facebook, and I haven't even watched the first one. What the hell?
Well,
yeah, but anyway, all right. So we got three movie trailers to talk about real quick. The first one is Marvel's The Defenders.
Yeah, this is the Netflix thing that all of those shows that all of the Marvel shows that they were doing had led up to.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
It looks really good.
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that maybe all of the like the real effort and motivation and talent went into this script and not into the other ones?
It feels like the people that might have done Daredevil sort of went into this. Mm-hmm. It feels like the fight scene especially are way better choreographed than Iron Fist was.
Yeah.
As you see, like, a fight in the hallway there, it looks way better than Iron Fist, where a lot of the fighting there just feels like it's beginner's level karate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the Defenders, it's going to be Luke Cage, Iron Fist,
Jessica Jones,
and
presumably,
I guess, Daredevil?
Daredevil,
yeah. Yeah, he opens it up with Jessica Jones is under surveillance with the cops. Mm-hmm. And he bursts in as her lawyer.
Yeah. Yep. But because he's a lawyer. That's what he does. Yep. It'd be neat if they put She-Hulk into this, considering she's also a lawyer.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd have to get a specific person to play that role.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It really does.
You know, everybody's been waiting for that moment when Marvel is going to finally collapse, and looks like that's still a ways off.
Yeah.
The other big one was The Dark Tower.
Oh my God, take my money.
Yeah, so... A lot of people have, from what they've seen of the previews, they've been sort of, there's been a theory that this is actually a continuation of the books and not a straight adaptation. Because if you've read the Dark Tower series, you know how it kind of ends. The whole story is kind of cyclical. And it's the belief that the Dark Tower movies are supposed to be like the second cycle, which is why... You know, a lot of events seem to be related, but happen in kind of a different order.
Yeah.
But it looks freaking awesome.
It does. 3-minute trailer, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And
I don't get excited for too many movies, but yeah, this looks really good.
Yeah. Well, the Dark Tower series in and of itself is just so much fun, because it's like it was one of the first like big pieces of like intercontinuity storytelling I ever came across. I mean, it basically ties into basically all of Stephen King's books in one way or another. You know, like all of his big books, like The Stand, The Shining, Salem's Lot. You know, all of those are tying into the Dark Tower, and it's just a lot of fun. The Dark Tower series in general is just a lot of fun because of just all the weird shit that Stephen King comes up with.
Yeah.
Everything and just all the music and literary references he manages to put in there. I really want to see this.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that they got Roland is being played by... Who's he being played by? I'm trying to remember. Hold on. Let me check. It's Let's see. The last Raul. It's Idris Elba.
Ah, yeah.
Guy who plays what's his name in the Thor movies.
Hmm.
So it's oh, I'm looking down at some of the comments. Of course, people are complaining about the Flack Rollins being played by a black guy. God damn it! Why did I even look?
Yeah. It's like, seriously, people.
Yeah, but anyway,
that's coming out August 4th.
Yep.
So. I am definitely going to go see that when it comes out.
Yeah.
And finally, to sort of wrap all this up, is the trailer for Dunkirk. It's the new Christopher Nolan flick. Going to be in theaters July 21st.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does look pretty good.
Yeah, let's...
Yeah, it's about the World War II.
Yeah.
Which I'm not too familiar with.
It's got some. It's a World War II thing about the. Let's see, it looks like I'm not as well versed in World War II history as I am in a lot of other subjects. Believe it or not,
yeah I don't think so this particular battle is one that they teach much during World War II.
No,
in history.
Yeah,
and see, it's the Battle of Dunkirk was the defense and evacuation of British and Allied forces in Europe from May 26th to June 4th, 1940.
Hmm.
So that was definitely before the U.S. entered the war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so Christopher Nolan, he's back on doing movies. Let's hope it's good.
I don't think he ever stopped, but...
No, well, it's been... I think this is it's his first directorial in a little while.
Yeah.
I think the last movie he did was Interstellar, wasn't it?
Yeah, I
think so.
Yeah. So it looks good, Murphy, though.
It does look good.
Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, it's got a solid cast, then.
Yeah.
All right, well, I do believe we have a show.
Yep.
Has anybody got anything?
I can confirm we have a show.
Yeah, awesome. So, with that said, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you would like to write into the show, ask us a question, have something you want to read on the air, you can send it to letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of iTunes, you can also subscribe with via TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, and pretty much every other medium out there. Just pick one. There's a good 3-to-1 chance we're on there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Simmons, I'd like to say good night. Sleep tight. Please don't drink and drive. You know, just remember that. When you drink tequila, eventually he's going to invite all of his other friends in. Good night, everybody.